This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. It's
As the roof kind of caves in on us.
I know, right? Wow. Man, we've got some weather here at
tornado warning.
At Ye Olde Pipe Shop.
Yeah.
Is there a tornado warning?
There's a tornado warning that buzzed, although I think it should be.
What the
done
heck are we
now
doing here?
Well, you know, we risk it all for the listeners, man.
The show must go on.
That's right.
You also may be, if you're watching tonight, might be the last people to ever see us alive.
That's exactly.
What a wonderful.
That could be it.
Yeah, I know. We could follow up last week's depressing episode with just the finale. Let's just go ahead and top it off.
Just top it off. No, man. Tonight, hopefully, we'll be doing kind of just the opposite with a lot of good and fun things to discuss.
Yeah.
First, man, there's some events coming up, if I'm not mistaken. There's this one guy, friend of mine, getting married here in the next couple of days.
Who on earth would do that?
I know. Well, it turns out
if you knew my fiance, you would understand why.
Exactly. John David Cole, your wedding is coming up, but more importantly, way more importantly than that, this weekend is the bachelor party.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What are we going to be blending?
that's up to you. But here's the thing. We got the bachelor party that's going to happen. That's this weekend. And all of y'all are coming too. I'm going to, what do you call the thing on the Twitter where you stream it? I'm going to stream the whole thing.
No, you're not.
I'm not the whole thing.
No.
Maybe a few minutes.
Are you really?
Maybe a few minutes.
Okay.
No, if you don't want to.
No, that's great.
I just thought they all want to come to the party.
That's good. Okay.
All right. Okay. We've talked about this. We're going to hire the surrogate who's going to walk around with the webcam on his head, and he is going to be
the
listener,
not the proxy bride. That's the proxy beau.
That's right. that's exactly right.
Who just walks around videotaping stuff?
That's right. That's right. And actually, we could put a screen on the chest so the tweets come in and everything, so we can kind of read them.
Yeah, but when we make fun of him as if we're talking to one of our old time listeners, is he going to take it personally?
Well, that's
or is he just going to know that we're talking to Pappy Joe? Or,
yeah, he's going to be a true
Portland
pro.
Paul or someone, right?
Yeah, he's going to be a true pro. Like, okay. That's what you want. That's what you want.
All right. Well, he can come to the bachelor party. That's fine.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, I may get some sneak in some streaming. So y'all check the Twitter handle for that. But yeah, man, we got the bachelor party coming up.
Yeah, man. All my friends are putting together, just a kind of a cool weekend for me. And I'm excited. I have no idea what's going to happen. But it should be fun.
Should be good. Can I ask you something? That this is a question I probably should have gotten clearance from some of the other groomsmen before asking you this. When the groom owns the cigar shop, does he bring the cigars, or do you buy the cigars from him to give to him at the bachelor party?
I think you gotta purchase the cigars.
Okay, so that's
right?
What I said.
I mean, just to make them official.
That's what I said.
I mean, what are you gonna do? Like, oh, hey, let's throw your party. By the way, can you bring all the food and the wine?
Yeah, I will not. I will not mention who
I can bring the cigars. It's okay.
I said we should buy them. But there was one person, I'm not going to say who, but they were just like, oh, wait, he's not going to bring them?
Oh.
I just assumed he was going to bring them.
Oh, that person will remain nameless, but his initials are John Grant. Right. Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, you tell Mr. Initials John Grant that the cigars will be provided.
Oh, man.
That's great. That's great. I'm excited. Yeah, we just have so many kind people who've stopped through the shop, just express excitement for me and my beautiful fiance. We're looking forward to it. So anyway, coming up soon.
That's true, man. And I also want to kind of put this out because, of course, with you going and starting the marriage life, that's going to involve a honeymoon. And during that honeymoon, of course, you will be away for a few weeks, but the show will go on. And in fact, we've got some special things planned. And that's all I'll say for right now, because I think y'all are going to be really excited to hear what's on the docket. Club members already kind of know what's going on, but for the rest of you, yeah, I think we got some stuff that's really special for you.
Yeah, and really, really exciting. Thanks for taking care of the fort while I'm away.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be fun. The cat's away. This mouse is gonna play. What else, man? Anything else going on here at the shop?
Man, not a lot. We're just kind of trucking away. March is here. St. Patty's Day, of course, is around the corner. I've been moving a lot of those Peterson St. Patty's Day pipes. We've got some St. Patty's Bay tobacco from Peterson as well sitting around, and be getting some new pipes in soon. Man, special visitor tonight, our friend Randall.
Yeah!
Randall Morgan from Waco, Texas. He's visiting here, Jackson, Mississippi. Got some family in the area, and we are, man, fortunate enough, he actually brought us some gifts.
Yeah, so this is a pilgrimage.
This is awesome.
This is a pilgrim who we will not blaspheme, because he definitely...
This is not right.
He definitely came in bearing some gifts. So you talk about yours first.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause,
so,
because this thing is precious.
It is precious. Yeah. So Randall, at their local pipe club, which was really, really great, they actually do a giveaway apparently every once in a while. And so they had a raffle where he won a tin of Ashton Smoking Tobacco's Brindle Flake.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you, this tin is from 1999. It was made. It was produced in 1999. This is a tin. You may recognize the shape of this tin. It looks like the Cornell and Deal style tin, also used by McClelland. And Ashton Tobaccos used to be made by McClelland, and now are made, I believe, by Scandinavian Tobacco Group. I could be wrong. In McClelland, they devised a whole bunch of just exquisite blends for the Ashton name. This blend has been out of production for a while under the Ashton name, but McClelland brought it back as Brindle Flake under their own. And not only is this not just a McClelland tobacco, it's an Ashton tobacco made by McClelland, which hasn't been made in a very long time. So it's like doubly discontinued. And I loved how Randall said, he said this tin is old enough to buy itself. Which is really great. So man, I'm just really grateful for this.
Now,
and I also promised, I swore that I would not sell this on the black market to like try to pay for, you know, like a kidney transplant or something.
Yeah.
I mean, this will be smoked. I'll enjoy that.
Or, you know, save it about 25 years, and this will be your kid's college fund.
No, that's right.
So he brought you something from 1999. He brought me something from 1999 as well. A Jar Jar Binks action figure.
Oh, look at that, man.
I don't know exactly how these are the two gift equivalents of one. No, I'm just kidding. He brought me something else, but he definitely did bring me a Jar Jar Binks action figure.
I think it fits well. Yeah, I was just more impressed than anything, I think, with your Jar Jar voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me. Meet Jar Jar Binks. Meet the action figure. Yeah, that's...
That's actually pretty impressive, Bo.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had it in you. One thing I like about this action figure, when you move the arms his tongue comes out.
If we could
figure out a way to stick a pipe in there, that would be good.
Man, longtime listeners will remember that we had the suggested Binks blood, the cherry to the Star Wars inspired cherry.
It's still
back
in the hopper.
Back there. But no. Beyond the Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks actually came in this beautiful gift as well, which is... This is a custom...
Not made for pipes.
Not made for pipes.
It's like a... I don't know if it'd be a camera bag or some kind of just gear bag or gadget bag or something.
So this is a waterproofed carrying case for the pipe. It's got a nice little place for your straight pipe. It also has a great package for your pipe tobacco and all of your accessories and everything. Wonderful for those of us who enjoy to smoke our pipe while fishing. And of course, listeners know that I'm a big fan of enjoying my pipe on the river. And I'm always looking for a better way. In fact, the last fishing trip that I had in Grand Rapids, most of my tobacco got soaked, which inspired the, having to buy the gas station tobacco and everything else.
Oh, that's when we talked about our hamster cage tobacco.
Exactly. Right. Well, no more hamster cage tobacco for me, my friend. I can bring the premium stuff and keep it safe. Thanks so much,
Randall.
Yeah,
man, that's great. And also some great great whiskey to go with as well. So anyway, Randall, we're so grateful for you, man. Thanks for showing up tonight. It was a real, real treat to have you.
Always fun to have a live studio audience, man. Yep.
Hey, one more news item.
Yes, sir.
Man, there's an incredible thing that we actually have not been covering that we need to immediately get on top of.
Of course, correct.
Yeah, and I feel shameful, honestly, but I was alerted to this by our friend Mark Fressa, longtime listener and patron of the Country Squire. Man, it's important for me to announce that at the Gulfstream Park in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on Saturday, a horse named the Country Squire finished 10th in the 11th race of the day.
Wait, finished 10th.
And we need the community for news in horse racing. We need the community to pull together to support this horse.
We need to support the Country Squire.
We need to support the Country Squire. This horse, this precious horse with this incredible lineage and pedigree,
right?
It deserves all of us to pull together and rally behind it. This horse has only made this year $2,200 for the year.
He came in 10th?
And he came in 10th.
And this is what we're pulling for him.
And they haven't made him into glue yet. But I'm telling you, look, he's got a future. And I just think if we all rally together, send our good energy and prayers in his direction.
To the Country Squire.
Hit to Country Squire, this beautiful...
Do you know what kind of horse he is?
He competed in the maiden special weight category.
Oh, he's got the special
weight. Maiden, I'm assuming, would mean it's a female.
Oh, she's...
I could be wrong.
Well, you know, it could be the hair. It confuses people sometimes.
Its trainer is Todd Pletcher, and the jockey is John Velasquez.
David. Oh, Velasquez.
Velasquez.
John Velasquez, David Cole.
Right. And I'm just saying...
JV! He's JV!
We need to just remember all these kind people as it moves forward. So we will be giving you updates on the precious racehorse, Country Squire, as time goes
on. Man, I tell you what, those Google alerts, they help out in these things, don't they?
I'm just saying, this is momentous, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's that's great. And with that...
Pivot.
Yeah, 10th place. Man, we're really back in a rough horse there, but we will do our best to show all love and support to the Country Squire and keep you up to date on his progress outrunning the glue factory, as it would seem. Well, hey, man, we got to give a shout out before we jump into this this week's episode, man. We got to give a shout out to a new Squire Club member at the International Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, Jace Wilkinson.
Yeah.
And it could be Jass, it could be Jake, but with a C. In fact,
it could.
I'm going to go with Jake with a C.
It's probably not any of that. But
Jockey?
But Jace, we're very thankful for.
Thank you so much.
Man, joining the Squire member, that's wonderful, Jace. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Also, by the way, we've got a new patron as well. So shout out to Benjamin Stell. And by the way, if you would like to help support the show, be it through joining as a club member or becoming a patron, we would really greatly appreciate it. More information can be found at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. If you go to countrysquireradio.com, click join the club. That's got all your information that you need there. All right, man. So last week, well, it was a bit of a downer. In fact, the weather that we're getting tonight probably would have been more appropriate for last week.
It's washing away all the filth of the last week's pipe world.
Well, it was a sad moment.
Well, something, and the good thing though, you know, any therapist will tell you, you're not supposed to repress sadness. You're supposed to grieve it, go through the feelings, progress through the stages, and then eventually you come out on the other side. And that's kind of what we're looking towards.
And I think there's something to be said to the fact that we as a community surrounded by the interest in an industry all kind of shared a moment, right? Like there was a shared moment of sorrow, of remembrance, of gratitude. Like we were all going through
gnashing of teeth.
A little bit. But you know, a lot of times like the community ends up being, well, kind of fractured and segmented, because at any given time, somebody's talking about this blend or that blend or this carver or that carver. And that's not a bad thing. It's the great diaspora of pipe enthusiasts that are out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a brief moment, we all just kind of had this moment of silence as we looked at the legacy of McClellan. But as we come into this week and as we look to the future, it's time to look at what is on the horizon and how to move forward in a post-McClellan world. Specifically, we're talking about tobaccos that are nice replacement tobaccos into your rotation.
Well,
if
substitutes
you are a McClellan
and
fan.
Some substitutes and some things to explore. You know, I mean, there are no necessarily, you know, perfect matches for things that they had. There's a lot of things that McClellan did that were very unique. This is a great opportunity for people to realize that, man, there's a world of tobaccos out there. As many as you think you've tried, I promise you there are hundreds and hundreds more, and there are so many good ones that will just give you kind of the opportunity to, you know, expand your palate and find some new favorites. And so we thought we'd just talk about some of those things tonight.
All right, man. It's a brave, bold new world. And what should we be packing our bowls with?
Well, some things to think about. And of course, you know, again, these are not meant to be direct translations. These are more meant to be tobaccos that you may just kind of keep in mind as you're exploring new tobaccos, particularly if you were fans of some of these other McClellan tobaccos. So, you know, we talk about the beauty of 5100 and all the delicious Virginias that McClellan made. Of course, there is no exact substitute for a lot of these things, but there are some really good Virginias on the market. If you're looking for Virginias that are easily accessible, very inexpensive, but also high quality, you may look for a couple different kinds. As far as a red Virginia goes, Cornell and Deal has a couple of products on the market. One is their Red Virginia Ribbon. This is Old Belt Red Virginia, kind of similar to what McClellan was doing. It's not aged in the same way, but it's cut in just a real easygoing ribbon form, so it's just easy for packing and lighting. It's going to be mellow, kind of toasty flavor. You know, it doesn't have the moisture level that the 5100 had, but it definitely has some of those kind of warm, toasty flavor that a lot of folks enjoyed there. Another one to look at, too, which is overlooked often from Cornell and Deal, but I highly recommend, is just something new to try. Again, you know, none of these are going to be exact matches, but something new to try. You might look at Red Virginia Cavendish from Cornell and Deal. Now, this, again, is Old Belt red stuff. It's got that real semi-sweet, nutty flavor, toasty flavor to it, but it's got a kind of a nice chunky cut to it, which I think is just really pleasant. It might remind you in some cases of 5100, just on how it burns, how it loads in your pipe and things of that nature. But great tobacco on its own, plenty of natural sweetness, would not be in harsh by any means. You know, just a good all-around tobacco. And of course, you can blend it with stuff, just as so many people did with the 5100.
Yeah, that's a very important, that's a need.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, there's a lot of folks that used some of the McClellan bulks in their own personal blends and kind of scrambling now to look for alternatives. And of course, tobacconists like myself are not immune from that too. And so, you know, these are just things to think about as you go down the road. Another one that's incredibly inexpensive and also pretty tasty for what you're paying for is the Lane Bright Virginia. You can get it just for great price. It's one of those Virginias that's just real kind of medium-bodied, buttery, good bit of nicotine, but not overwhelming. If you smoke it slow, it'll you know, be kind to your mouth. And something else to think about, certainly not a dark, rich Virginia. This is going to be a brighter Virginia, but just one of those out there that if you are a fan of Virginias and want to try something new, you know, it might be something worth checking into.
All right.
Yeah. Other ones too. So, you know, we just tried to think of different ones that are out there. McClellan, of course, had a lot of blends that were heavy in Latakia, and then also, you know, they had those smooth, sultry blends that had the real heavy notes to it, but also somehow wound up being incredibly soft and easy on your tongue and all that kind of stuff, very kind to the mouth. And so some options there. We've talked about a couple of these tobaccos before, but one I'd really like to point you to, this is still a tobacco that's available. Matter of fact, just to make sure I wasn't misleading anyone, I made sure before tonight's episode that you could still order this online from different locations. I'm expecting some actually for our shop in relatively soon, but you can get them from other stores as well. That's Balkan by Brebbia. Now, you need to know that the Brebbia Balkan, it actually has Syrian Latakia in it, and they are still coming out with this stuff. And so it's a real incredibly high percentage Latakia. I think it's it's either 40% or 50% Syrian Latakia, but it's a really smooth, silky English blend that's so heavy in Latakia, it'll remind you of some of those Balkan favorites, maybe Balkan Blue or Balkan Beauty from McClellan. But it's going to be not just nice and soft and rich. Kind of reminds you of some of those favorites you may have tried.
Didn't we talk about this blend like a year ago when we did our Syrian Latakia update?
We sure did. And so Balkan by Brebbia, it's still available. They're kind of slowly releasing the last bit of their Syrian Latakia. You know, it's just one of those things. It's still available. I encourage everyone to pick up a tin here or there and try it out. It's good stuff.
you realize that right now everybody's in this like hoarding mindset.
I know, right? Go buy like 14,000. It's really good. Another one too that may remind you of some of those McClellan heavy Latakias, the Balkan Sassini. Such a great tobacco, and one that I feel like should be venerated more, and I guess to some degree is, but you know, this was a tobacco that came out in the early 90s as a substitute for Balkan Sobrani. And it's just relatively easy to get your hands on. You know, it's going to be in that $15 range for a tin. And it just has a real hefty Latakia flavor with a nice smoothness to it as well. It's manufactured by Scandinavian Tobacco Group. You'll have some Turkish leaf in there that gives it just a nice... I always hesitate to use this word because for me, it helps me describe it. A lot of those Turkish oriental leaves I refer to as kind of musty in a good way. And as a blender, that helps me. But for some people, that is a turnoff. So I'm trying to find other alternatives for description of that. But anyway, that always tends to help me. But the Balkan Sassini, I think, is a good one to turn to as well.
Would musty imply dry or just the opposite? Not necessarily one way.
Yeah, it's
other.
Not even really referring to that. It's more just referring to kind of a room note and the flavor.
Some more about
the flavor. There's almost like a pleasantly kind of dusty flavor. I don't know. It's hard. I need to work on my description of that.
Yeah, so. I was about to say.
It makes sense in my mind, you know? It makes sense in my mind.
It's like how you, when we describe scotches, we just kind of refer to it like, oh, yeah, it's like you're like licking the barrel. And like, that doesn't sound like a pleasant experience.
I know.
Unless you like, love it.
Who on earth would do that?
Right.
Other ones, too, of course, so many folks, one of the most venerated lines within McClelland has been their Throgmorton series. And so Throgmorton, of course, they're all over the map. Again, there are no substitutes, but there are some incredible English blends that have just a real nice softness to them, that mixture of maybe some Black Cavendish or, you know, just kind of mellow Virginia's pairing with that, that really soften those English blends up and make a nice match.
Man, so, these better be good. I mean, there's a lot of fans out there.
I know.
After the frog croaked, they're looking for
Frog croaked, yeah. It's kind of like the Budweiser frogs, you know, we've talked about that, you know, they need to bring those back. We need to find some alternative frogs, right?
Right.
So anyway, some options for you. Just to explore, these are things that might be interesting to you. Rattray's Black Mallory. Great tobacco. This is one of those, again, old school tobaccos. Golly, if these, some of our oldest, crustiest pipe smokers that come in the shop that have been smoking only premium tobacco for decades, they'll tell you about the, you know, Rattray's tobacco from the 70s kind of stuff. I mean, they're just all about it. But
nice history of tobacco.
Really, really well-storied tobacco. You know, it tends to be a little more expensive, but great stuff. Black Cavendish, Latakia, Turkish leaves, and also a nice bit of Virginia. And so, anyway, I think it's something worth exploring. Cornell & Deal, Mississippi Mud. This is a tobacco that I think we reviewed maybe within our first year of the show. A long time ago.
Definitely one of the early ones.
A long time ago. But it's also a Latakia, Black Cavendish tobacco, but with the addition of Louisiana Perique. And so it's one of those that you might throw in the mix for a Throgmorton Cellar, one of those that just has a little more strength, a little more punch to it, which some people prefer. Hmm. And then, of course, the big one, everyone's like, man, how do we replace this, right? And so, you know, is of course, Throgmorton Cellar. It's just so venerated. That sweetness that's there that goes along with the soft English blend, lots of Latakia, Black Cavendish, Virginias, that type of thing. The closest thing I can get you to on here, and this will be surprising for people, of course, or maybe disappointing for people, I don't know, but is of course, Pembroke from Esoterica. It's one of those tobaccos. Yeah, and of course, it's not even whiskey flavored, it's cognac flavored, but it is an English blend that has just a real nice softness to it paired with the sweetness. And there's a lot of tobaccos out there, you know, we call these, I call them hybrid blends, crossover blends, English aromatics. We refer to them as all, you know, all kinds of things. But you know, there's a lot of blends out there that have these great Latakia components that also introduce notes of sort of aromatic tobaccos. And so, you know, we might refer to you here at the Squire, for instance, and we encourage you to try house favorites like Hunting Creek. This is a tobacco that would probably be closest to Throgmorton Cellar. It's got a nice dose of Latakia, but also naturally sweet. A little added sweetness, but not over the top, just a little whiskey flavor. Our new blend, Shepherd's Pie, is probably the closest we've ever come to matching Throgmorton. And that's a Caleb Crawford original. He worked so hard on that. And I'll be honest, that I think, and of course he's come out with some incredible hits, but that Shepherd's Pie, that is the best tobacco personally that I think he's made yet.
Yeah,
he did an incredible, and that's high praise, but I really think that's the best tobacco he's made yet.
I remember you telling me how proud you are of it, but it was also kind of like the dad whose son dunked on him for the first time. It's like you're proud, but also at the same time, like, hey, this is
you can't
daddy's
do that
court
to me. I know, right? Yeah. I've been very open that Caleb is Caleb's got, yeah, man, he's got some skills,
man.
I need to recover a little bit, man. He's been pushing.
Where is
me
your
it's
Hunting
really,
Creek?
Really,
because I'm looking back here. I'm not. Is it over off to the side?
No, it's top to the right. Actually, the jar is empty. It looks like we need to blend some refill the jar. We've got it blended up in the back, but
just enough to get that jar.
Great, great tobacco. So it's one of those real complex blend. We've made it for a long time. So just some others you may be thinking of. Also, our friend Gene Boker, he says Bagpiper's Dream from Rattray's is the poor man's Pembroke. And so another one that you may want to check out too, just as an alternative.
I would not have expected you to say Pembroke to Cellar. I've got a tin of Cellar left that I'm hesitant to open, and I've got my tin of Pembroke. So I guess on that day, on that fateful day that they get busted open.
Don't open both of them.
No, well, I mean, I have to. You get just one and the other. You know, I'm curious. I kind of want to put, it's one of those things, I want to put this to the test, but I also kind of don't because I want to save all.
No, that's right. I understand. Yeah, it's one of those things where you'll open the tin and then, you like know, smoke remorse. A little bit and yeah. then immediately put the rest in a really tight seal jar and just
bury
it, lock it up forever, right? Along with your, you know, silver, you know, doubloons and all that other crap that right. you're storing for the apocalypse.
Get,
right?
get your, get your you know, your bank security box.
That's right.
Everybody's got their
That's right. Grandma's diamonds and all that. Yep. A couple more. Dark Star, of course, was a really popular tobacco from McClelland. It's one of those that, you know, it's mostly stoved Virginias. There's not a lot of stoved Virginias on the market. These are Virginias that are basically baked or griddled. You know, they cook them at a high temperature. The sugars caramelize and are just really... really unique and tasty. But Dark Star, there are some Virginias on the market that may have the essence of some of that. And the first and really the only place I'll tell you to look is a very well-venerated tobacco that would be worth checking out that has a similar kind of flavor profile, and that's Sam Gay with Full Virginia Flake. Now, Full Virginia Flake, this is a mellow Virginia. Of course, it's got, you know, just kind of that hearty, mellow flavor to it. I don't know. It's hearty and mellow. It is hearty and mellow. Okay. But it, you know, again, it's going to come out of the can really, really moist. It's one of those Sam Gay with tobaccos that you just kind of have to know going into it that you're going to have to let dry, you're going to have to age, you're going to have to work the tobacco as you're smoking it and all that. But I think the darkness of it and also the richness of it will remind you, it's probably the closest thing I could think of on the market to that Dark Star. Mm. Just a real, you know, velvety tobacco that's got that interesting flavor that, you know, the Full Virginia Flake, it's hot pressed. And so it's one of these things that it's undergone some heat, it's undergone some pressure. And I think it'll be reminiscent of the Dark Star, which is good.
Okay.
So, 40th anniversary, of course, this is one of McClelland's, like, you know, their last big hit, of course, that they came out with. It's one of those tobaccos that was just over the top, you know, as far as it's, you know, everyone raved about it and all this stuff. Virginia
Finishing
Flake.
Strong with that one,
yeah. Yeah, real similar to Christmas Cheer, but probably a little spicier maybe. It's just one of those that they really hit the nail on the head with. And these are not exact translations, obviously, but I would encourage you to look at these as far as potential ones that you might want to try in order to sample something that's kind of in the ballpark. Mac Baron Navy Flake. This is a tobacco that I feel like more people should talk about. It's just a delicious tobacco. It's actually not Virginia forward, although it has plenty of Virginias in it, but it's more Burley forward. But I think the flavor and the fullness of it is going to remind you a lot of the 40th anniversary, which is just, you know, really... really nice, full-bodied, strong. It's got some, just a lot of different notes to it. There's some spice there, which I think is really pleasant. And you'll find that in the Mac Baron Navy Flake. Also, Peter Stokeby Luxury Navy Flake. It's a Virginia Perique. It's one of those that, you know, of course, we've talked about it a lot on the air, and people have smoked it forever and are big fans of it. Luxury Navy Flake, this is something that's, you know, it's got some legs on it. There's going to be a little pepper to it. You know, it's just really inexpensive, very, you know, it's very affordable. You can bulk up on it. It comes in a bulk variety, which is just really tasty. So another one to think about there also.
Right on.
And McClelland did do a few blends that were cigar leaf accented, and so their Dominican Glory series, which was very popular, and we've talked about a few cigar leaf blends on the show before. One that stood out that we would recommend again is the James Fox The Bankers. It's really tasty. The cigar leaf, I think, is really well done in this blend. It's one of those where the leaf is definitely apparent, but it's not so overwhelming that when you're smoking it, people think you're smoking a cigar. Some of those tobaccos do tend to kind of lean in that direction, so it's not too much of that kind of filmy mustiness that comes with the cigar smoke. It's more pipe tobacco, you know, reminiscent, but just a real good tobacco. I think it's very complex and a good one.
Yeah, I got some of that cellared up in my cellar.
Yeah.
I brought back from London.
Did you really?
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. One more thing that I'll mention to you as well. Tastemaster was probably, I don't know what McClelland tobacco was the best selling overall, you know, as far as their aromatics go, as far as a McClelland aromatic in a tin goes. I'm not sure which one was that, but Tastemaster was one of the top ones that we had here at the shop. And so here at the Country Squire, we sold tons and tons of Tastemaster both online and in the store. Just a really good go-to aromatic, kind of a chocolatey, a little caramel. It's just one of those, you know, kind of easy-going confectionery tobaccos that you can smoke all the time, you know, and make the room smell great. And I'll be honest, the closest thing I think I've ever smoked to of it, and one that we were proud to kind of put forward as something that might be close to it, is our Tobacco Chocolat, which we sell here at the Country Squire. So something you might look into. Other chocolate tobaccos, we did talk about Cornell & Diehl's Chocolate Cavendish recently. Not a super heavy chocolate flavor blend. One of those that, you know, you might just try here and there. Certainly, you know, probably want to look at some alternatives. Another one that's out there that some people use is the Sutliff Creme Brulee tobacco, which is very incredibly wet, really, really moist, but is a good tobacco just to kind of, you know, smoke in small portions to give you something really sweet and silky and with just an incredible room note. Yeah, so
we talked about that one. I don't think I've ever tried that one, though.
Yeah, now it comes in a bulk. I don't believe it's available in a tin, although I could be wrong about that.
Gotcha.
But a really, really good tobacco. Very, very, very wet. One of the wettest tobaccos that I've ever seen. So it can gunk up a pipe. You know, I recommend maybe putting it in a meerschaum or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So just some options for you. You know, these are just tobaccos that I think might be worth exploring kind of in this brave new world that we're in.
I was about to say, man, it sounds like the world's not over at all.
There's so many good ones, man. I mean, there are just so many great, great tobaccos that, you know, have been around forever, some new kids on the block. And, man, I you know, we grieve and we mourn the past, but also we look to the future, which I think is very bright.
Man, yeah. So I know what's going to happen. People are going to listen in to this episode. And they're going to hear all these different tobaccos and they're going to start picking them up and trying them out. And I have a feeling we're going to get some feedback. You know what I mean? This is one of those episodes, and I do as well. I hope to get the feedback and hear what y'all think. Like, oh, John David is exactly right. This is speaking to my soul in the same way that you know, Seller did. Or no, John David.
He was off on that one. How could you say that? He really should have said this one. Yeah. And that's the thing. We want to hear that. I would love to hear kind of going forward. You know, if you're a listener and we're a big fan of one of McClellan's blends, let us know some alternatives. What do you, you know, even if it's not an exact match, hey, I really enjoyed this. Another one I also enjoyed that you might like is this. You know, let us know what those are. I think that would be encouraging to people out there. And, you know, the great thing is there's just so many options. You know, there's all these incredible blenders that carrying forward, you know, are kind of our generation, Bo, that are in the market. You know, the incredible folks that are working at places like Cornell & Diehl and GLPs and, you know, the guys that, you know, blend at Seattle Pipe Club. And I mean, there's just so many great, great tobacco houses out there that I think going forward are going to keep coming out with hits. And we're excited about that.
So here's what I'm going to recommend.
Yeah.
I'm sure that while you were listening, you had a notepad out, you were taking notes. Of course, you could always pull up the show notes where Mark VV has been doing a great job of keeping every single detail into our show notes now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you can kind of pull the list up there. But here's the thing. You're going to go through every single one of these tobaccos referenced, and you're going to say, okay, I want to get these in. I'm going to get used to these new flavors. This is going to be my path forward, and I can't wait to dive in. Well, you don't want to just dive in with, you know, your seasoned briar pipe.
Right.
You've only been smoking one particular blend. No. You got to try some different stuff. And when you try different tobaccos, what we strongly recommend is you do so with a good, clean smoking Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe.
Always.
Not just that, though. I'm kicking it up a notch, man. I'm saying go big, go bold, go MacArthur.
Wow.
Full on MacArthur corncob pipe. Pack that thing up with these new tobaccos. Don't just sample them. Go full Monty. And of course, you can do that with the MacArthur from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right. The MacArthurs are awesome, man. We do sell a lot of them. It's one of those pipes that, you know, is it the most totable, practical pipe? No.
Absolutely not.
But is it the Meerschaum? Is it the Missouri Meerschaum that will make the biggest, most awesome statement? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. And, man, they're fantastic. Of course, the bowls are gigantic. We're talking almost an entire cob that is turned into the bowl, the pipe here. Just a great pipe. They come in a in a straight and a bent variety, and are just really awesome. So the bowl is very, very large. It's something you could fit probably a quarter ounce of tobacco in. But the nice thing about that is with a bowl that large, you're able to you know smoke a tobacco for long enough to really see a lot of changes in flavor as it undergoes all that heat. And so just a great option. Of course, a Missouri Meerschaum is going to smoke relatively cool. It's going to be light, even for a large pipe. And I mean, my goodness, it's a MacArthur, so it's fun.
Hashtag MacArthur challenge. I'm putting it out there. If you've got a MacArthur, smoke this week, but don't just smoke your MacArthur this week. I'm putting a caveat on it. Smoke one of the tobaccos mentioned on this episode, hashtag MacArthur challenge, and tweet that into us. We'll retweet it out. And not only are you sampling and getting a good sized portion of these tobaccos to help move you forward into this next era of the pipe tobacco world in which we live, but you're also doing so with a great pipe that helps sponsors this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. This pipe question of the week comes in from Rafael D. Gomez.
Great.
Are Gomes?
Probably Gomez.
I'm going to go with RDG. RDG.
RDG.
Listener,
okay.
RDG is writing in. Asked the question. He said, I wanted to know what you thought about using radiator type pipes in cold weather. Of course, this is a follow up to
a good
the
suggestion. Yeah.
Smoking in the cold weather is an episode that we recently did. It says pipes such as the Falcon, Kirsten. I'm just butchering all of these.
You are. It's a Falcon, the Kirsten, Hector, Weebs radiator.
Yeah, so all those, etc. He says, I know they have briar bowls, but with the cooling and wicking action from the radiator, I wonder if they would be especially good in the cold due to the more extreme temperature differences. Again, that is from listener RDG.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where a metal pipe would be really handy, right? We talked about how hard the cold weather can be on briar. You know, briar is, as much as we love it and, you know, as durable as it is, we're talking about a plant here that we've aged, you know, dried out and carved a hole into, and then we regularly set on fire. and we expect it to be, you know, durable and last forever and beautiful and passed down to our grandkids, right? But radiator pipes, you know, that have been designed, of course, they've got just a really interesting, you know, metal kind of stainless steel shank there. They come apart, which is nice. You can unscrew the bowl. And, you know, these pipes, I think, are good for just strange weather situations. Obviously, if you take them out into the, you know, if it's raining or something, you don't have to worry about your pipe as much getting necessarily hurt. The stainless steel shank, it's one of those that just incredibly, you know, versatile. The Kirsten pipes, which are very interesting, they've got this kind of shell shank where the, you know, there's a stinger that kind of fits into this other aluminum tube, and then you have the variety of bowls that you can screw into it, be it briar or meerschaum. You know, they're just really cool pipes. It's one of those things, if you break the bowl on accident or whatever, you don't have to worry about it. You just get you another one. And so, you know, I think they're good options. It's one of those that it may not be the pipe that you prefer smoking all the time, but for devoted pipe smokers that are looking for something to smoke in, you know, inclement weather, I think it's a great option.
Have we done an episode on radiator pipes?
We haven't. No, and we're probably due for that.
I it's like, as you're talking, I'm like, I don't know anything about what you're describing right now.
Yeah, we should.
We definitely need an episode on that. Well, I need some education.
Yeah, and a lot of folks are, you know, a lot of other carvers have kind of imitated some of that and used the aluminum stainless steel shanks and aluminum shanks on their pipes. It's just kind of an interesting, you know, mix up, change up. It's very light material. And so anyway, something we ought to look more into. But yeah, I think it's a great option for that cold weather smoke.
All right, RDG, thank you so much for that pipe question of the week. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in at show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire with Jones! Ow! All right, man, quick fire questions coming in from, and of course, sponsored by, the Tin Society. More on them in just a minute. All right, these are actually sent in from a listener and club member, Benjamin McMullen. All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
Now, this is great. McMullen has actually sent these in. These are what area of history you would most likely want to learn more about.
Okay.
You ready for this?
All right, yep.
Okay, World War One or World War Two?
World War One.
Yeah, I feel like World War Two is kind of overdone a little bit. And like, you know, it's the war you know. you know?
Right, right.
But World War One, you know, I feel like we always kind of skip to that to get to World War Two.
Yeah.
History-wise, of course. I'm not saying legitimately. I'm just...
Yeah, obviously, yeah, I mean, let's be careful, like, World War II, obviously, not overdone, huge, right. I know what you mean, though. As far as the comparativeness, I mean, there's a reason.
There's 30 gazillion movies about it.
Right, no, that's right, and yet, think of how, you know.
And, like, just one season of Downton Abbey dedicated to World War One, and that's the comparison, that's what I mean by
that. That's true, and, that World War One, I think, is one of those conflicts that was... Probably the most fundamentally, or it probably most fundamentally changed our modern world, even more than World War II, in some way. I don't know. I'd like to learn more about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
All right. Industrial era or the atomic era?
Industrial era. I think the atomic era kind of goes along with that World War II,
right.
Manhattan Project. Yeah. You know, I kind of feel if I wanted to learn more about something that I don't know a lot about, I probably need to learn more about the cotton gin, you know, or like manufacturing in England in the 1830s kind of thing.
Well,
you know,
all right,
I don't know. That'd be fun.
Good comparison with the World War II and the atomic era. Cause like, I feel like a lot of like modern American mythology, like stems from that era. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Sure.
Like every single one of these comic book superheroes you're seeing on the big screen, like has some kind of origin in that era in terms of being inspired by and utilized during that. But yeah, so
yeah,
I'm with you. Industrial era. And then also with the when we went to go visit STG, and we got to see like all their whole manufacturing and everything, it kind of brought me back to the earliest days of manufacturing, and I was like, man, I kind of enjoy this.
Yeah,
there's something almost relaxing about seeing kind of these machines at work. I'd like to know the origins.
That'd be good.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, medieval Europe or the 1400s Asia.
1400s Asia. Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you know, I guess I'm answering these questions as to like, which one do I know least about?
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? And for me, yeah, 1400s Asia, you're thinking, gosh, probably at the time you've got, you know, no telling what dynasty in China that's going forward, even though it's already 3,000 years old at that point or however old. You've got the Genghis Khan and the Mongolian Empire, whichever Khan is in charge at that point, and conquering vast swaths of the earth, you know, at that time. Yeah, I'd probably have to go with 1400s Asia.
That's good.
I'm a sucker for medieval and Renaissance history, and so I kind of, I don't know, I feel like I've kind of...
You've tapped out.
Well, I'm not a historian. I just, you know,
like your history.
I just like to read, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I've studied that enough that I probably, you know, it'd be good for me to study something else.
That's good. I think medieval Europe, just because I still like to kind of go to that well whenever. It's kind of like my, you know, I don't get a chance to read for pleasure all that much. And so when I do, that is kind of an era that I still kind of enjoy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I kind of have this kind of relaxation mode with that whole chivalrous era.
Yeah.
All right. And you know what? I think that's going to do it for this week. And we'll save the latter half for
next
week.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm liking this, man. McMullen kind of set us up. McMullen and wife, is that a thing? it's in the back of my head.
That's you should invent like a 1980s.
McMillan
show or something.
It sounds like one, right?
I don't know.
What? I'll tell you what I do know, and that is if you are wanting to sample some pipe tobacco, some premium pipe tobaccos, but you're not sure that you want to actually commit to a full pipe tin, then oh man, have we got the service for you.
That's right.
The good folks at the Tin Society send you curated pipe tobacco samplings every single month. Great premium stuff, just enough to get a sense of whether or not you're going to like this tin, not like this tin, and that way you don't have to make a major commitment. So you got to check them out, the Tin Society.
Yeah.
If you go to tinsociety.com and use the code Squire, then you actually get 20% off on your first month service.
That's right.
We are huge fans of it.
Big fans. You know, this is the subscription service for the pipe smoking community. And so if it's something you've dabbled in, maybe in, you know, there's so many awesome subscription services out there for, you know, folks that are into craft whiskey, different types of clothing, you know, cooking related stuff. But this is, if you're a pipe enthusiast and like the concept of a subscription service, man, the Tin Society is right for you. just well-curated tobaccos, a really good opportunity to try some of the best-selling blends in the world without having to commit to a whole can, and it's just a really good opportunity. So go to tinsociety.com when you sign up. Again, like Bo said, use the code SQUIRE and save 20% on that first month service.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback. All right, so we got some great listener feedback. This first one comes in from Drew Ingram, and it's quite timely.
Yeah.
It says, quick question, gentlemen. Will you be doing a St. Patrick's Day special? It says, keep up the good work. I love listening to the show whenever I can. I think that's a great idea.
So St. Patrick's Day special, meaning like...
Well, we did our Valentine's Day special. We did our Christmas special, yeah. Our Halloween special.
Yeah.
I think a little, look at the Irish. We should do a St. Patrick's Day episode. Well, maybe, don't just say, laddie. But some pipe tobacco for the Irish. And all of us, I'll work on that accent.
Bo speaking in tongues again. The power of Christ compels you. Right.
I think that's a great idea. Maybe to focus on some great pipes with kind of a St. Patrick's Day theme.
Yeah.
And some great Saint. We know there's a lot of great St. Patrick's Day tobaccos that are out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shamrock Shake.
There is a thing. Like Jim Gaffigan says, how do we know it's St. Patrick's Day without the Shamrock Shake?
Let's find the tobacco equivalents to tell people about
it. Right. No, I think that's good.
Next week?
Maybe. we'll talk about it.
That's about as firm a commitment as it gets on live air. All right.
You hear skepticism in my voice.
Great, great suggestion, Drew. Thank you so much for that. Also, this next one comes in from Brian Parent. He says, hey, gang. Thanks for the great show. Keep it up. Never miss an episode, and I was truly bummed to hear the news about McClellan, especially because they blend some of my favorites. Maybe this creates an opportunity to do an episode where you can find some similar in bulk and tin blends and most famous McClellan blends, Throgmorton, etc. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
That's a great idea. I hope you enjoy this episode, Brian, and thank you so much for that that great feedback.
Yeah.
And then, man, all right, so this is kind of interesting because we're about to be presented with a unique situation that I don't think has ever happened in the history of this show. We now have an iTunes review that was written by a listener, and as Providence would have it, said listener is actually in the studio right now.
Yeah.
In the shop right now.
Yeah, said listener is Randall Morgan, who's right here.
I say we make Randall read it on air. No, he's shaking his head no. Oh, come on, man.
You don't want to do it?
Okay, he's saying no.
he's out.
What did Randall have to say about us as we read, while he's staring at us while we read his words?
I was kind of hoping this was going to be a bad review just so we could have kind of this, you know, fun on-air tension thing.
I wish Apple would give you negative 5-star reviews. Right. I would give you all the negatives.
But Randall, he
Randall sounds nothing like that, by the way.
No, not at all. Not much more sophisticated. Randall, of course, the title of this review on iTunes is simply the best. Whether you smoke a pipe, interested in smoking a pipe, or maybe you just a reminder of the wonderful smell of cherry tobacco that your dad or grandfather's pipe used to have, this is the podcast for you. Bo and John David are wonderful hosts that make the art of pipe smoking and tobacco accessible for everyone. Though I've only met them a few times in person, Bo and John David are people that care not only about pipes and tobacco, but people on the other side of the microphone. Man, that's really, really kind praise, brother. I look forward to each week hearing these guys, my favorite podcast by far. And that is from our dear friend Randall. So, Randall, thanks, Randall,
for
those kind words, man.
And
we did not pay him to do that.
No, we don't. No,
to say that.
We definitely did not. But it's nice that we actually get to say thank you to you in person.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's kind of cool. Well, hey, and by the way, if you'd like to send us some feedback, we love those iTunes reviews. It's a great way to help support the show. Doesn't cost you a dime to do it, but if you are willing to spend a few dimes to help support this show, keep it going and growing, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio where you can join the International Pipe Club there, or just be a patron for a few dollars. All the details at countrysquireradio.com. Click on join the club. It's got all your information right there. We also love getting feedback from you guys live on Twitter. In fact, Twitter has been buzzing tonight, man. We've had some great back and forth with those of you who are out there giving their thoughts and feedback on some of the suggestions that you've had.
It's good stuff.
Absolutely.
Rip it to shreds, man. We want to know what you think.
Well, and I'll say this too, because the other thing, we mentioned this last week, but Russ, longtime listener Russ Hicks, also the number one, the first ever Pipe Club member, he... He's got a cellar. Like, he's he he was Chicken Little back before Chicken Little was Chicken Little. And he piled up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, head over to twitter.com/SquireRadio. We've retweeted this out. He has taken pictures of his massive stock seller.
Yeah.
I think he said, what did he say? It's half of what he wants, but twice as what he needs.
You're right, right, right. It really is beautiful, though, if you look at it. It's just these towers of McClellan, just this precious McClellan tobacco that you'll never get again. And he's good.
Yeah, you know? But I'm telling you, Russ, you got to be careful tweeting that picture out. Like, don't let people find out where you live.
Yeah,
buddy.
You don't want to know. People don't need to know where you stay. Yeah. Like, you know, just go ahead and know you're going to get some private messages.
Yeah, he's got some lock. Maybe that's his intention, actually.
No, it might be. It might
he's
be.
Trying to get a proposition.
Yeah, he's like, going to wait till the price comes
I'll
up.
Give you $5 million
yeah,
right now.
No, that's it.
Could be. Well, we love getting that kind of social interaction with you guys as well. So be sure to follow us on Twitter. You can follow us individually. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is @SquireRadio, and all that contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you can tune in every single Monday night for our show here at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. We would love to have you join us. Again, all that and more is at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, John David, it has been an interesting night as we've seen the light flashing back and forth. We had some sort of crazy person at the window at one point.
We did.
The rain is kind of died down a little bit, but I think the tornadoes are still out there. So will we be back next week? That's the real question.
I know, right? Fortunately, looks like we got out of this episode alive.
Yeah, so far so good.
Right.
Well, hey, man, let's go have a night.
All right, brother. See you.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.